What's up, everybody? Welcome to Elite POV, where it's podcast time, and you know what that means. I am one of your hosts, Phil Cataldo, but you can call me Philium. Check out my hat. I just wanted to show that off. And welcome to the show. And joining me, of course, the producer.
Well, I'm fixing you, isn't it? Because
what?
I have to fix what happened?
The producer is producing.
I'm
the
producing.
Producer
there is producing. Now people can see your hat.
Kyle Masters, what is up?
I'm doing good, producing. I didn't crop the screen right. Now everything's all fucked up. We're good now. All right, I'm good, though. I'm good. What's going on, everyone? What's going on?
And the other voice you hear on the show is the draw, Jackie Rodriguez. What is up?
Oh, man. It's Friday. The week is over. This week has been... The week has been weakened, but we're good. We're happy to be here.
Yeah, Phil, do you like that hat?
I like this hat. I do. I can't lie.
It is a very nice hat.
Yeah, he did.
It's not a purple bucket hat, but it'll.
I kind of wish you were wearing a purple bucket hat, though.
No, absolutely not. No,
you don't want to be like the fans at ringside that like the 30 fans that wear it at ringside.
Listen, shout out to the people who are loving it. You know, what I mean? Like, it is what it is. It's stupid fun, but we're going to get into that segment later.
I tell you what.
Okay. But before we get into that, if it's your first time listening, welcome. We do the show every Friday at 7 p.m. Eastern on youtube.com/ElitePOV and twitch.tv/ElitePOV. If you guys like what you hear and what you see, as long as Kyle puts me up on the screen, you head on over to patreon.com/ElitePOV. If you guys want to subscribe to our Patreon, definitely anything helps. We have a lot of new tiers up there, a lot of new shows. Jackie and Kyle's show is on the reminder, ready to go. Ready to go for you people on YouTube, so you stay tuned to that. Me and Kimmy have to record our show at some point when I get my life in order. Beginning of the year has been crazy for me. And yes, we have a lot of great things coming. And of course, brand new merch, right? You see the brand new logo in the corner. We got some brand new merch to back that up. ShopElitePOV.com if you want to get that brand new shirt. I was supposed to buy it this week, but instead, thanks to Ant, I have a card addiction now. And all I do is spend my money on sports cards. Because as you see, I'm going broke, okay? And there's like 10 more coming.
Yeah, I showed Phil my... I used to be worse. My whatever cards I have left collection with like one prize possession that I have still. That's a card that's worth a lot of money, and I'm just hanging on to. I should probably sell it though, because you know, or maybe I'll wait for him to come back and then I'll sell it.
I'll
be popular
it
again. Oh, well, yeah, I gotta reach for it. One sec.
So, no, you don't have to reach for it. We can just say
it's
right
next to me. So, ladies and gentlemen, I was a card collector at one point. I have this big book here in front of me full of cards that I have left. So I ended up going to a card show, and I went through this bin, and I'm like, oh, this is a really, really neat card. It was autographed and everything, and I asked the guy how much he wanted for it. He's like, yeah, $15. I'm like, why not? Turns out I go to eBay, and it's worth hundreds. So this guy didn't do his research. But I have a CM Punk. This is a different kind of card. So it's by Upper Deck, but it's a jersey card of a Chicago Blackhawks jersey that he wore. And it's a jersey card for, and it's signed by CM Punk. So this one is a very, very nice piece that it goes for a couple hundred dollars on eBay right now, or at least the last time I checked. So that's still in my possession right now. So if you're listening on audio, come back and look at it because it's a really nice card. But
come back and look at it and give Kyle $500 if you want it.
$500. So
go
starting bid.
Pry it out of
starting
his cold,
bid.
Dead fingers.
Starting bid. I know Ant probably loved the hell out of that car. Ant's probably going to try to buy it from me.
Yeah.
He's watching right now on YouTube chat. So. But anyways.
Ant's like, oh, give me that card there. The Saudis will buy that card
Ant's
for me.
Like, I'll give you $5.
Yeah, give you $5. Well, listen, there's no better way to start this show than with a little bit of news because, as always, news from the other company that has huge, huge effects on not only AEW, but also the entire world of wrestling.
Yeah.
Because if the rumors are true and WWE is selling to the Saudis, a lot of wrestlers will not be happy and will be leaving the company. So it is a crazy time for them right now. Shout out to Kyle for always saying the Feds got a Fed.
Feds are gonna Fed. Yeah.
Fed's gonna Fed. It'll never change.
But hey, it mate, looks but like with the
it's so true.
And also with the hilarious, I don't know if it's even legit or if it's like actual news, but of the cons, as in Tony and Shahid Khan being interested in, first there was talks of buying, now it's talks of merging. And I'm sitting there going like, every day it just, shit just gets worse and worse and worse.
Oh my God. It's like something is coming out from left field every day. I don't know what to believe anymore. And then of course, like there's memes coming out of it left and right. It's just, I'm thoroughly entertained, but at the same time, I'm just like, I feel so sorry for anybody that's working over there right now, because they just got to be like just choking. Yo,
a
on
merger.
Like,
fuck that. That's my opinion. Fuck that. No.
Can you imagine?
I would rather stop watching wrestling in general before I see a merger.
Nah, bro. Give me the merger. Let's get fucking wild. No. Let's get wild,
There's
bro.
Too many people that you're going to see so many of your favorites get cut and they'll end up on Impact. Nah, it's not happening.
Let's get wild, bro. There's more people in our chats right now that are at Hard to Kill. The Impact pay-per-view tonight.
Oh, my God. Wow.
We love Impact.
And with that being
we don't
said,
hate
shout out to Kimmy, who is not on the show this week. Impact's number one fan.
Oh, thank God.
Impact's one of three fans.
Thank God she's not on the show today. I've already had to hear from her in text messages. My God. Kimmy, I love you. Love you like a sister, but my God, need to put you in timeout.
She's been rubbing Kyle's nose in the carpet like a bad dog over.
Yeah, exactly.
We might as well talk about it. Yes. She didn't show up. Good. Okay, let's move on. But no, Kimmy, every fucking day.
No, Kimmy, Kimmy's like it smells blood and is just attacking you. Kyle gets one thing wrong and it's like over.
I'm mad about that. Okay. And like, I know some people and a lot of people out there are like, oh, you know, you can't really blame Tony Khan and AEW because they didn't say she was coming in. And I'm like, well, they play the old, like, bait and switch almost, man. Like, they baited us in. You can't say they didn't bait us in. They announced this match more than a month out. They had Britt do what she did last week with the whole boss thing.
Yep.
They baited. They could have not done that. They could have told her, yeah, maybe we don't do that or we cut it out because we know Mercedes isn't coming in, so we don't want to bait fans. So I'm giving AEW shit for baiting us into that. I'm still giving them shit. Yeah, we probably shouldn't have gotten our hopes up like that, but hey. They are still going to get eat part of the shit sandwich because they baited us in. They did.
It's the truth. It's the truth. It's one of those things that I see people online, right? Like, especially Fed fans are like, it's your own fault. You guys hype yourself up. You listen to the dirt sheets, all yada, yada. But if you just watch the show and you know that Mercedes is a free agent and you know that she showed up in New Japan, so it's like a real possibility that she could come here because that means she's definitely not with WWE anymore. And she's officially on the alumni section on WWE.com. So like, she's really a free agent. So if you just watch the show every week and you see Britt Baker calling herself the boss, you see the thing of like, I brought two tickets.
They've had this knowing match for over a month. You don't do that
Mercedes
for no Mercedes.
And Trinity are the two people who are free agents that are looking to go somewhere. And the whole two-ticket thing that they don't even reference, I forgot about it.
Ascended.
Jackie's the one that was upset.
Even if New Japan stepped in at last minute and said no or something happened last minute, do us a favor and do and just tell us. You know what I mean? Like, fans are not going to be disappointed that you told us.
Yeah, you got to do some form of damage control.
Didn't he do it like right before Christian debuted when he was like, it's not who you guys think it is. Like, it's not... Like he should have been on Busted Open Wednesday morning.
They made,
like,
Paul
it is
White
not
say that, didn't
Mercedes.
They? Or
yeah, it was the Paul White.
Yeah,
thing.
Like they made him. They made him say, "Oh, you don't think they?" Remember, he was like, "Oh, I don't think you know," or I don't know what he said. Something along those lines. I remember
but
that.
It's just wild.
Yeah, it's. And you know what? I'm not. At the end of the day, I'm not like I'm pissed that they baited this, but at the same time, it is what it is. We move on from it, right? I know already people already speculating that, oh, it's going to be Revolution if she shows up. I'm afraid I'm not going to be in your boat, in that boat. She does show up, cool, but, I kind of been baited for over a month, so I'm not falling for it again.
here's my little bit of advice to anybody who's waiting for a debut, okay? I have been waiting so long for Tessa Blanchard to debut anywhere. Fucking anywhere. It's been like 5 years, all right? She might as well retire. She ain't never wrestling again. And she can't fucking walk 2 seconds without getting in even more fucking trouble. It is unbelievable what this girl has done to her career, right?
And her love life. Yikes.
Yeah, a love life, her career. It is just all over the place. But the one thing I will say, for all you Sasha Banks slash now Mercedes Monet.
Oh, Monet, stop. Don't.
Fans, right?
Money.
Money, right? So all you fans out there of Mercedes, you got to become, right? Don't go into every big moment like this is the night, because it's not going to be. Just be surprised and just enjoy this, because it was a fantastic episode of Dynamite besides this.
Yeah.
Yeah. People will jump down your throat for being excited about something, the prospect of it. There was enough reason to believe that it was a possibility. And people are like, you know, you worked yourself into a shoot. You're the one that got yourself worked up. So, you know, you have absolutely zero reason to be disappointed.
Can they blame us?
I'm saying that is complete bullshit. There was enough hints that were dropped that it could have been a possibility. You can't shame people for being disappointed one way or another. Now, if you were like stomping your feet and saying that the entire episode of Dynamite was completely ruined and it was total bullshit because she didn't show up, now you're pushing it into territory where it's like, okay, grow up. But in terms of like being let down, especially for the fact, like I said, that they pushed the narrative about the two tickets and then nothing was mentioned about it, nobody was at ringside, I'm like, come on. You dropped the ball in so many different directions. Like, there was like there was no payoff whatsoever.
And AEW never does that. Right? That's the one thing we need you guys to understand, people who are listening. They never bring something up and don't reference it. Like, even if Excalibur would have been like, wait, what happened to those two tickets? Like,
the Bucks and Kenny do it all the time. They do it on TV. That's what I'm saying. It happens all the time.
Yeah.
And listen, maybe 5 months from now, we see an SRS report where it's like, hey, it was supposed to be them. And because of weather, flight cancellations, they couldn't make it, right? Crazier things have happened, right? But it's like, you have to make some type of reference to the two tickets thing on TV in commentary.
Adam,
so people who don't flip out.
Adam in our Twitch chat has the answer to where the two tickets went.
Where?
Ken Jeong and Freddie Prinze Jr.
Oh, yeah.
That's where they went. They just forgot to mention it on TV. Sorry, I should have went at ringside. They are my two tickets. Look at these guys.
There you go. Yeah, right. It's.
I think they. Do you think they semi-played damage control, though, with the Adam Cole stuff? Like, with him coming back? Do you think that was planned all along?
I think that was all planned all along.
Yeah, I feel like that could have already been in the works. I think it could have been, like, an extra-loaded episode, just with everything that was going on. It was a pretty high attendance for that show overall, but...
Because, I do feel that she should have been... She was probably going to be there. All the signs were pointing that she's going to be there. I feel like there was something did happen. I kind of want to believe that they would have done something earlier, announced something earlier, or not done the tease last week. It was literally last week that Britt did the boss line. They're not stupid. They know that we're smart and they're smart. And Tony Khan would know that Britt dropping that line hinted at Mercedes being there. You know what I mean? Like,
Tony Khan is always on Twitter, so he knows that we know.
Like, if you knew at that point last week on Wednesday that she wasn't going to be here tonight, then you don't do the line. So something in between last Dynamite and this Dynamite must have happened. I'm guessing. Must have happened. Maybe like a talk to New Japan going, oh, you know what? On second thought, we really do want her first match back to be the Battle in the Valley. Now that we sold it out. In the last week, they did sell it out in the last week, so maybe it came down to that. Maybe it was because they sold it out. They're like, okay, well, this is now a very big event. It's now a paid pay-per-view on Fight TV. We're just, you know, we kind of want to change ideas. And, you know, they have a working relationship, AEW New Japan. So maybe they're like, you know, on second thought, we'll let her Kairi match be the first match. Maybe that happened. We don't know, right? We're probably never going to, like Phil said, maybe like 6 months from now, there'll be a report that says, like, this is what actually happened on this day. We'll find out then, and we can discuss it then. But at the end of the day, and I'm talking to you, Kimmy, so I know you're watching or you'll be watching this back. Build your bridge. Get over it. I'm not going to do the whole spiel. We move on from this. Yes, I was wrong. There, you happy? Go get your birthday cake. Put the candles on it. Blow it out. And then get over the bridge. There you go.
Oh, my God.
And but listen, there was also an incredible match that came before it, right? I think the women's tag match was great. I love the matching gear on both sides. A lot of people were afraid that Toni Storm was going to get booed when she walked out because everyone wanted it to be Mercedes, but she didn't get booed. Now there was booing after the match, right?
Because the
lights went dark in the arena when they went to the promo that was after the match, and people booed because they thought that's when she was going to come out. But the match was hard hitting. It was great. You know, obviously Kyle, as a huge Saraya fan, and Jackie too. Every time Saraya takes a bump, you're like, "Who?" Like that flip that she did to the outside, I like held my breath on.
You know,
but
what?
It was a great match.
I think like during like when we were there at Full Gear, I was like that for every single move. And then when they did like the trick spot, I was like, my heart sank.
Yeah.
But for this one, you know what? Like I think now that like the more she has matches, I think the more it's gonna go down. I'd say it was at like a 25% ooh kind of way. But. Man, yeah, you're right. Start off what you start with. The gear that both Jamie Hayter and Britt had, the matching gear, was fire. Absolutely fire. It was whoever designed that, well done. Well done. And you know what? To be honest, Mercedes or not, I was, as soon as like the bell rung and, you know, there wasn't, and still in the back of my head, I was like, oh, maybe she's going to come out after. But at the same time, I'm like, you know what? This is Saraya's second match back. After like 7+ years in that horrific injury, I'm going to enjoy this match because she's in it. And my second favorite woman, Jamie Hayter, is across the ring right there. They're both in the same match. I'm going to enjoy this woman's match for what it is. And I'm not going to sit there and be like, okay, when's Mercedes coming out? Okay, when's Mercedes coming out? And like the whole time Twitter was doing, I enjoyed it for what it was. And it was a fantastic women's tag match.
You know who doesn't enjoy it? My dog, who's losing his fucking mind.
I can
right
hear
now.
Him. Whenever you talk, I can hear him.
Yeah, he is going.
But Jackie,
bananas.
What'd you think of the match?
No, I thought it was very well done. Seeing Saraya back out there is also a great element. She's looking a lot more fluid. I know that there was some apprehension in the first match back with Full Gear, like people felt that she wasn't looking as smooth as she could have looked. Obviously it's her first match back. What the hell are you going to expect? But she looked a lot more fluid, a lot more comfortable, and also having a tag partner to rely on to kind of like take some of the pressure off of her probably helped a little bit. But then there's the element of Sheeta, and we were like wondering how she was going to play into it because, you know, they had that turmoil between her and Toni Storm, and she comes out, she's got the kendo stick, and she throws a kendo stick into the ring. So she doesn't do the full on, like I thought she was going to go in there and just like beat the hell out of Toni Storm, and she was going to do a full on heel turn, but they do a nice subtle thing where she throws it in. So she's not exactly saying that she's turning on Toni. She's putting it in there, and then Britt is doing with it what she will. And she looks like she's conflicted, but I want to see the full-on Sheeta heel turn.
I think it was a seed planting. I think it is.
Yeah, it is the seed planted, and it's just, it's making it look like she's kind of like, oops, I didn't mean to do that. I just slipped that in there, but like, I didn't want you to take it. I wanted somebody else to like get their hands on it, but it's just like, it's placing the reasonable seed of doubt. But I'm ready to see Sheeta go full heel, especially she's such a badass, and I'm like, I'm ready for that.
I'm curious because like I don't know what the hell that noise was. Did anyone else hear just here?
Yeah, I heard it.
One noise.
There was some sort of like weird feedback, like aliens were taking over the show, but anyways. I'm curious to see, because it was Toni Storm. So are we getting Toni Storm and Sheeta? Because I think when we were talking on the show last week, it kind of looked like they were maybe going towards Sheeta and Saraya because Saraya chose Toni instead of, you know, Sheeta, and kind of like turned her back on her and made her feel like crap. But they did this whole thing to Toni Storm. So I imagine Toni Storm's going to be the one that's going to be really pissed here. Or is Toni Storm going to be the person to take on Sheeta on the way to Saraya, and then the pay-per-view match will be Saraya and Sheeta?
Possibly.
Because they can go a couple of different ways here.
So the one thing that our great friend Carrie texted me right now talking about it, her theory, and our boy Rob, same theory, that all of this is leading to a Women's Blood and Guts match, and it's looking like AEW Originals versus women who have signed to the company.
So and that's why. So it's AEW versus WWE.
Yeah, basically, right? But women that they're bringing in, right? And
they're all from WWE, though.
I know. But it's the people who've been here from day one and the people who signed.
Correction. Let me correct my language here.
Yeah, the Fed. Yeah. I mean, maybe they could add Athena, Mercedes, right? And then Britt gets people on her side, right? She gets Sheeta. That would be, what, three? Don't you got to get to five?
If you threw Ruby in there, and if you wanted to throw, but it's tough because like Ruby's face, like feuding against a former WWE person, like they're both there, in the Fed.
No, she's feuding against Ty.
That's what I mean. Like Ruby and Ty came from the Fed, so like they're feuding against.
Yeah, but people don't really consider because Ty was only in NXT, so
they're still in the same company.
But still, people don't.
They're not, she's not home. Both, neither of them are homegrown.
Well, yeah, but
they wouldn't be an AEW original. Neither of them would.
I don't think Ty. Listen, the JAS, which we'll talk about later, is like a fucking black hole. It like sucks everything in around it, and no one's allowed to fucking shine.
You know what's hilarious about them though? It's like 1 week it's great, they're doing great shit, and the next week it's like, what the hell? Where'd you go wrong? Like, why'd you guys let them go back? Like, that you're. It's like, oh, okay, we're progressing. We're doing some good stuff with the JAS. Maybe this is what we're going into. And then the next week we go right back to like what we hate about the JAS. It's like they flip flop with the JAS every week.
I don't understand.
Which makes me
it's
think
it's like a bad. Bad relationship, man. It's but like, that's you know, where you like him, like,
exactly, Jackie. So that's where you cut ties, you cut the rope, and you let the JS die. Because like, if you can't figure it out, then you shouldn't be on TV to begin with.
And it's one of those things too. Like I was saying it while we were watching the show, right? It's like, you know, once 8 p.m. hits Eastern time, right? Once Dynamite starts and the pyro goes off, Mercedes is not in the building. You know at 9:20, fans are going to be upset. So you need to move the JAS out of that fucking segment and switch something around. Because that crowd absolutely the segment was bad to begin with, right? It was bad. It started out good and went on way too long. Way too long, right? And the crowd was like, I could give a fuck. Luckily, the main event was so anticipated, people didn't care. But you took away time from the main event. We were talking while we were watching it live, Kyle, that it reminded us of All In when it was like, all right, you got 5 minutes plus entrances.
Yo, they did a lot. They did a lot.
That's what I'm saying, but it's like.
They could have. Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah.
You could have moved it. Listen, I get it. Jungle Boy Jack Perry is from LA and Hook is very popular, but that was a Rampage match. If I've ever fucking seen
it. And it was still an LA Rampage. Where they literally could have had that on Rampage.
Yeah, he would have just been on Rampage. Yeah. And listen, love Ricky Starks. That Action Andretti guy seems really good, right? Not the best on the mic, but he'll get there, right? He's a little rough around the edges. But the JAS thing sounded cool. Started cool with them being at PWG this past week. Mm-hmm. But it just goes on too long. And it's just like, it takes me out of it. Like, honestly, I wouldn't even care about the Mercedes thing because the show was so cool. But, like, that promo went on way too long. Now, here's an idea for you guys. Carrie just messaged me. What if Blood and Guts is Britt, Jamie, Nyla, Sheeta, and Jade versus Mercedes, Ruby, Tony, Athena, and Saraya?
Wow.
That would be fire.
I need to be a lot of hype around that.
That would be super fire.
And you know what, like to add to what I know what we're going kind of backtracking this episode to add, I think Mercedes will eventually be in AEW.
With the Saudi.
When the Fed's fedding right now, just, I don't think it's ideal for her to go back. And like, you know what? She, at the end of the day, she's still young as well. She's 30. Okay. She's not old. She's not like a wrestler that's at that 40 mark that has like a little bit of juice left. No.
Yeah.
She got a long career ahead of her.
Yep.
Literally, Mercedes can sign with AEW for a couple of years and go back to the Fed then and just still be young.
Yeah.
So, like, she can come here in AEW, start a revolution, make the women's division the best that ever was here, have her name stapled to that, then you can go back to the Fed whenever, you know, they clear their shit up. Maybe it gets better in a year or two, and she goes back. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it could happen.
She's just increasing her value. That's
exactly.
That's the goal.
She's going to come here, start a revolution, be one of the biggest names here in the women's division. Exactly. Then she's going to go back there and be like, hey, remember that money I wanted? Yeah, I want twice that. And now I'm
worth the money.
And now I'm worth it because I've made a name for myself all around the world in New Japan and AEW. I'm a bigger name now than I was when I was here. So it only makes sense. She will be in AEW eventually. She's not now, clearly.
Well, one thing that I do want to talk about, because we mentioned it before, the hype levels through the roof. Just we've heard all these talks. Adam Cole is retired. Adam Cole might retire. Adam Cole may not come back for years. You know, he had this bad concussion, neck injury. So he had all these injuries that are just piling up.
I was one of them.
We see him.
I thought he was toast.
And there were moments in that interview, the promo, that I was very scared that if he was doing an Edge and he was going to announce his retirement. And then he said, I got bad news for the locker room. And I was like, here we go. But that initial pop when you hear his music.
Oh, yeah.
That crowd went apeshit.
Everyone's expecting, I think, like MJF, right? Because the way Shivani introduces someone I don't personally like introducing, I'm like, okay, what piece of shit wrestler back there is he introducing?
Yeah.
Is it MJF? Is it Ethan Page? Like, I'm thinking, like, those are the two names that came to my head right away. And then when you hear, it's all about that, and I'm like, what?
Yeah.
I screamed. I must have like blown off eardrums because I literally screamed in that Discord chat.
Oh, dude, that pop was huge for him. But like, man, did I ever get choked up when he was talking about the Brit stuff, like waking up and then like saying, like looking over Brit, and like he was even sounding choked up saying like, I don't know what's wrong with me. And I'm like, oh, that tore. That ripped the heartstrings out of me. It was just like big claw, give me those strings, and ripped it right out of my chest. It was emotional as fuck.
But that's AEW at its best. And that is what AEW does.
That's
best.
Adam Cole at his best.
Wrestler.
My man.
But
is
they let these
great
wrestlers tell their stories.
Yeah.
And we know it's canon on TV that Adam Cole and Britt Baker are a couple. They're not hiding it. They're not pretending like no one knows. So he can get emotional. And like, clearly this was him becoming the biggest baby face in the company with this promo.
Yeah, which is interesting because as much as he tried to play up being a heel, he was always going to be over. He's always been super over with the fans. People are always going to cheer for Adam Cole no matter what the hell he does. But oh my God, him going out there and just like, he really did pour his heart out to the crowd. And he hit that. This is a good news, bad news situation. And I'm like feeling that like clench in my chest, like, oh Jesus Christ. Like, I don't know what it is about just in general, like the way that time has been passing by. I couldn't even tell you that it's been 6 months since he's been gone. It's just, it feels like forever, but it also feels like a blip in time.
I think the Punk thing at All Out, like thinking about it, like that was like a vortex that we all got sucked into. Are we in the JAS?
Really, it is.
is that why we can't tell time?
But he says, like, I gave you nothing for 6 months and you were still here for me. And for that, I'm eternally grateful. And he's just like, the way that he acknowledges the fans and the way that they've supported him despite him being absent, and how he's developed such a new appreciation, not just for pro wrestling, but for his life and everything that he went through in his absence. And the fact that, you know, they're allowed to go out there and be so real and be so candid and let us get that perspective about, you know, what goes on behind the scenes of their lives. It allows us to relate to them on such a level. And it was really special to see. And, you know, once he gave us the confirmation that he's back and he's back full force, it was just like, I'm just so overcome with joy to have him back on the roster. I'm just,
you know what
I'm
he is,
so
Jackie.
Happy to have my cinnamon roll back.
I was going to say that.
What a precious little cinnamon roll.
Listen, for anybody who doesn't have the privilege, which is a lot of you guys, don't have the privilege of watching Dynamite with Jackie live every week. She was like, my cinnamon roll. My cinnamon roll.
But man, like he's back. So like even I love what he said in his promo too. Like I haven't even scratched the surface of what I can do. Like I can be the best here at AEW, and he's right. Mm-hmm. And there's so much that he can do, and I can't wait. I really hope we do see it, because I think this guy could be, you know, the top guy that he was, you know, when he was in NXT, he was the man. He was, the stepping stone. Like he was what they built the company around and built the brand around. So he has that ability to carry a company or carry a brand, which in this case, I mean, it's Dynamite and Rampage, but he has the ability to carry AEW's brand and put on his back. So now it makes me think. So like first things are going through my head after that promo, I'm like, okay, so I know like everyone wants the end game for MJF to lose the belt to Wardlow, but maybe
it's Adam Cole. That's what I was thinking. The same thing. Like I was thinking the same thing.
So like, do they like the Iron Man match? Like, does Danielson put MJF over, or do they do the, you know, the Mark route and have Bryan Danielson win, and then you have Adam Cole versus Bryan Danielson, which is like a wrestling fan's wet dream. I'm included in that. I'd love to see that.
So much.
But either way, the story of Adam Cole as a big baby face and MJF as the big heel, that right there, the promos that those two can have on each other.
Good on the mic. Can you imagine the promos between Cole and MJF? Like,
man.
This makes me think that they're going to go in that direction. So, but at least for Revolution, I think if they want to, and I'd be okay with it, because now that they did the whole injury, which we're getting to, they did the whole injury angle with Moxley, which kind of looks like they're writing him off finally so he can go finally have his vacation.
Finally.
Because this guy deserves it. Talking about putting the company on his back. My man carried it up a mountain. So I think if they want to, because they can revisit this, they can maybe revisit a Hangman and Adam Cole just for the pay-per-view so they can have like a nice little match. Something like that. Because, like, if Adam Cole's here and he's back, like, what is he doing until then? Like, who's available for him to face?
I think Adam Cole could win the TNT title.
But it's like, is that... But if we're going in the direction of the world title, you can't do that right now.
Oh, Kerry again, being the little voice in our ears. Adam Cole versus Kenny Omega.
I think... As much as, like, Kerry, your ideas are great. I don't think it's happening. I think he's tied in with the trio stuff. I don't think they're going to do that right away.
They could do like a one-off.
Yeah, but like why not just
do, why win the trios titles then if you're not going to do anything with the trios titles?
No, but I'm saying the Elite are going to eventually lose to the House of Black.
Yeah, but like hopefully. Still, like won the titles. What was the point of taking them off Death Triangle if you're not going to do anything with them?
Well, right away? They could lose to the House of Black.
But then you could have waited for this then. You didn't have to take the titles off Death Triangle because now it's like then you've just ruined Death Triangle too.
Yeah, but Double or Nothing is in like the end of May. If they do it there, not a revolution.
That's a lot of time from now. I'm just saying, you don't need to do everything right now.
No. You could do like just a fun match. Adam Cole versus whoever in a fun match at Revolution. It could open the show.
They could revisit Hangman because Hangman's now like he's taking care of Moxley. I don't know what you do with him.
Maybe we do get Hangman versus Cole again, but this time without a title.
Exactly. They had a really good match at Revolution.
Maybe Adam Cole wins to Owen again. And actually go somewhere.
But that's after Revolution. I'm talking about, like, what are they doing now?
Here's a good one. Just came to my head. Jay White is rumored to be a free agent. Oh, what if Jay White comes in?
The Bullet Club
and we get Cole
there.
Versus Jay White at Revolution.
When is he a free agent, though? I didn't really read into that. I didn't look to see, like, when exactly his contract's up.
Soon.
I don't know if that's before Revolution or after.
So, but what is soon? Not AEW Fight Forever soon, I hope.
Oh, my God, please.
Yo, did you see? I went to go pre-order it. Now it says December 31st, 2023.
Yeah, and for people who don't know, whenever you try to pre-order a game and it says December 31st of whatever year, that means there is no date. Yeah, that's just like the whole date. Yeah.
And they changed the cover, but they don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, who knows? Just give us a date, even if it's in 2024, just so we know where
coming. You just put coming in and then the year.
Yeah, please,
you know I mean, dude, even if you just put 2023 and you're unsure what time this year you're gonna release it, just put coming in 2023.
Yeah, I guess we could switch over to the first match of the night because we kind of touched on it. So Hangman versus John Moxley in an absolute fucking banger way to start the show. It's what I love that AEW does. It honestly, my favorite way that AEW starts the shows is when they start with these banger matches. Like, yo, fuck that. If you're switching over, oh, maybe you were watching Young Sheldon with Jackie before. Oh,
great show.
Right? Jackie loves her Young Sheldon.
Sometimes they want to turn on Rampage. You know,
yeah, and it went into Dynamite, and the first thing you see is Hangman versus Moxley have that war. That beautiful war, beautiful storytelling. Fans loving both wrestlers, putting on a great show. And like Kyle said, we get the aftermath where it looks like Moxley's being written off with a concussion angle, which finally would give him the vacation that we all know he deserves. This guy was
man go home.
The heart, the soul, the back, everything.
Let me go see his new baby girl, right? Girl. I think they had a girl.
Yeah, Devin, girl. Mm-hmm. So he can come back in a few weeks and he can still get Hangman versus Mox in the rubber match at Revolution would be a lot of fun. But Jackie, what'd you think of this match? Because we know you're a huge Hangman fan.
I am a huge Hangman fan, and it was good to see him too. Again, the paradox with Hangman having been gone for 3 months. I'm like, how the hell has it already been 3 months since we've seen Hangman in the ring? But Hangman looked freaking fantastic. Looks like he hasn't skipped a beat. These two were just like hammering each other, just like killing each other in the ring. Just freaking destroying each other. And this is a banger way to start off Dynamite. I love when Dynamite starts on an all-out war like this. Moxley, there's this spot that Moxley has been taking to doing every match where he like gets on the turnbuckle and he scratches his nails down the back. And this time he did it with his teeth too. And I'm like, that is so disgusting when you think about somebody being all like sweaty and he's like freaking, I'm like, please stop doing this, please. It's so like, it's so grotesque.
Meanwhile, I'm like, me next, bro. My back's bad. Yo, you got me next, bro?
Yeah. Okay.
No.
I'm like taking my shirt off.
I'll wait over here. It's okay.
But that crowd was so pro Hangman. They were chanting cowboy shit like at the top of their lungs, and Mox gets pissed off and he's like flipping off the crowd. And it just goes to show that it's like, as much as people love Moxley, there is not a person in that company that is more beloved by the AEW fans than Hangman Adam Page. I don't give a shit what anybody says. It's like nobody is rooting against Hangman when Hangman is in that ring. They did a spot where Mox hits the clothesline of like a lariat, the same move that he hit Hangman with when he got the concussion. It's like the callback to it. I love that. But overall, great freaking match. But I had a feeling Hangman was going to come out with the win, and Hangman needed that win more than Moxley did. And I'm glad they looks like they're giving Mox time to go home, because that man was the MVP of this company, showed up to the occasion when he really needed the time to go home. And he was called upon to basically carry the company on his back when other people were acting a fool. And let that man go home and enjoy his family. But no, killer match. Killer way to open Dynamite.
I love your random NBA references, Kyle. Yo, Kyle Shaq is still the brand.
Yo, Shaq and the Fool was like my favorite segment on that panel, just because like Shaq would make fun of JaVale McGee on like a weekly basis.
Oh my god, dude. Yeah, and then JaVale McGee's mom called Shaq's mom to get him to apologize, and then Shaq was like, all right, I'll never make fun of this dude again because he's soft as shit because he complained to his fucking mom.
Like, there would be like some clips of like JaVale McGee like completely missing the ball and like going like head first into a fan. And then Shaq's over here going like, JaVale McGee, a.k.a. the Kissing Bandit.
Fucking hilarious.
Oh, fantastic. Fucking,
this goes right, boop, right over my head. So.
Yeah, Jackie's like, what's basketball?
Well, I'm not that
NBA?
Stupid.
NBA? Is that a wrestling company? I'm just kidding. Anyways, it kind of looks like they're going towards like a Moxley write-off, just because like what they did after the match, like the selling he did with the, even with Doc Samson, him like coming to and going and like pushing the referee, the camera cut, but I guess he pushed the referee down, Paul Turner, and like he was just coming back from a concussion. So it kind of, and then like I saw a fan clip of like that what was being filmed like during the commercial, and like Wheeler Yuta and Claudio came out, and like he was doing the same thing to them. Like he didn't know where he was. Like he was like out in left field. So it kind of looks like they're going that way. So I kind of hope again, because he does deserve a vacation. You know, he deserves a vacation. Spend some time with Renee, the kid. Most importantly of all, like you kind of want to be there in the stages that the baby's in right now. So you've done what you need to do, Moxley. You're supposed to go on vacation months ago. You've carried the company on your back ever since. It's time for you to take a little bit of a break, heal up. I'm sure you have some nagging injuries or nagging pains from carrying this company. Probably your back's like broken in two. Heal up, come back, and then you can feud with whomever's available. And Moxie is the type of top wrestler in this company that he can make a absolute great feud with no matter who he's feuding with. Doesn't matter who it is, it's going to be an awesome feud. So he's just that good of a wrestler. So, and then he's also the type of guy that they can throw the world title on at any time, and it would make sense for whatever reason. They just... Yeah, sure, world champion, we care. He could come back like in like 3 months, win the world title, and people are like, fuck yeah, Moxie's world champion. You know what I mean? So like he's just that guy. He's the top guy in the company no matter what. And he's another guy. Basically, he's been here since day one because he showed up on the first ever pay-per-view before there was even a TV show. So like technically, he is a homegrown talent of AEW's. So
technically, yeah, if you want to get technical.
Yeah, if you want to get technical. Like he came from WWE. But, like, he was here from the ground up in AEW. Same with Jericho. Same thing, right? These two were big names somewhere else, but were here. I mean, you can call it with Kenny and the Bucks. People call Kenny and the Bucks homegrown talent, but, like, they got big in New Japan and in, you know, everywhere else. Same thing with Moxley and Jericho. They got big in WWE, but then they were here when the company started. So, technically, if you're going to call Moxley and... Sorry, if you're going to call Kenny and the Bucks homegrown, you're going to call... Moxley and Jericho homegrown because they were here since the beginning.
That's an interesting way to look at it. Yeah.
So anyways.
Well, speaking of homegrown and speaking of technical, Jackie, I want you to enjoy this next segment.
Oh,
and
I want you
to light a candle. I want you to put on your favorite song. And we're going to slow dance our way right through this beautiful segment, which listen, everybody, this match between Danielson and Takeshita. Did I say that right? Takeshita?
No, close enough.
No, you know what? No, let him.
That's what I said. I said it right the first time.
You could be like MJF and say what he said.
No.
I don't know if a lot of stuff that he said was PC, but we'll get to that when we get to that.
No, oh right. My God. But,
so Danielson versus Takeshita, and it would be, listen, it'd be a hard match to beat if Kenny and Will Ospreay didn't try to murder each other in the Tokyo Dome, right? But holy fuck. And to think, we had the main event, which we'll get to. We had a fun women's match. We had a really fun random tag match that was built, right, with a hometown guy and a guy who's really popular and some great heels. We had some great promo segments. And we had the banger of an opening match. But this match right here is a match we will be talking about for the entire year. It's going to be one of those matches that it's going to be very... It'll be the one match that's going to give Kenny and Ospreay a run for their money. Because
yeah, so far Danielson, that's two we can write on the list for a match.
Yeah, already,
so
right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That are just like absolute banger. Jackie, go ahead. Just show us your love for technical wrestling.
Just bask in the glory. No, oh my God.
Drink it in, man.
Takeshita has really been just like showing why him getting his All Elite graphic has been major win for AEW, because my God, Danielson is top notch in that company. Like when it comes to the caliber of performer, all around, like great in-ring technician, it's really hard to think that you're going to come close, let alone top him. But Takeshita really just went toe to toe with Danielson, hold for hold, freaking strike for strike, chop for chop. This is the kind of match that I freaking salivate over. Like sometimes I'll talk a lot during matches or whatever. I think I went mute for this one because I was just like taking it all in. it, well, oh my God. Like I just think that there was a sequence of like moves where they were just going like hold for hold, but Takeshita's just his strength overall. Like I can't even like, I would love to be able to just like do like a watch along and freaking break it down hold for hold.
Because my dude's tall, man. He's tall. He's taller than I thought he was.
But just the smoothness of the transitions from move to move, like into like the pin, like I just like, I wish that I could just glow over this shit because, and usually I'm taking my notes and everything like that. And I'm going back and I'm looking at my notes now and I'm like, I didn't note take as like thoroughly here because I was just Jackie's so notes into just like said watching
smoke cigar.
Like, my notes just say, holy shit, like, this was, like, match of the night. And like Bill said, if it wasn't for Omega versus Ospreay, this would already be, like, freaking match of the year contender. But, you know, Takeshita is, like, big deal signing.
Yeah.
He is, like, he's going to prove to be one of their MVPs of the company if they keep giving him the platform to do it, because every match that he has gone out there and had, this guy does not miss.
And like, listen, we have Ant in our chat, and I agree. Bryan Danielson is the greatest wrestler of all time. I don't, it's the guy, and Jackie, was it you or Kimmy who said it while we were watching that, like, this is the type of match that, like, this is why Danielson went to AEW, right? I think that in my head.
maybe you thought it.
I think Kimmy said it.
I don't know.
Maybe you weren't paying attention because you were too busy. Like,
maybe I was too mesmerized.
Like Jim Carrey in the mask, tongue all out, heart beating out of your chest.
Just eyes glued to the freaking
screen. This is what I love. I love matches like this and moments like this because everybody always gives women fans, like female fans, like, oh, you're only here because the guys look hot. And they're in their underwear.
You're here for Jackie's Wardlow, like, and that's it.
Fuck you. Did you see that transition sequence? Adam said it earlier. Victory roll to driver to German suplex sequence. That shit was porn for Jackie. Jackie was like, yes, let's go, baby.
Let's go.
Clip.
Jackie can't even watch a Zack Sabre Jr. match anymore. It's too technical. Her body just can't handle it. She passes out. Wait, was that a surfboard? Oh, she faints.
I need a change of clothes.
Yeah.
Oh my God, a modified sharpshooter.
Meanwhile, me and Kyle are like, why did Jamie Hayter change her gear? We're like fucking punching the screen. What the fuck? But Kyle, what'd you think of this technical masterpiece?
Oh, I need to get my water here. I'm just like, Jackie, I'm sweating. No, this was great. This was fantastic. Honestly, we got what we expected and more. Because, like, when they announced this, we knew it was going to be a banger, and it ended up being a banger. But, like, props to Takeshita for not only being a great pro wrestler and a gem, which, to be honest, I think Tony Khan sees him what a lot of us see is that he could be, like, our Okada. You know what I mean? They could build him into that.
And for anybody who's rolling their eyes, Okada was an impact. Impact Wrestling, TNA had Okada, and they fucked it up.
Yeah, they let that guy go.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, it is possible that a Japanese talent can come here and become a huge star.
Yeah, and he moved here. Yeah. So now he lives here. So, like, he's fully committed. Mm-hmm. But anyways, great wrestling match. And I was giving him props to the beginning when he, you know, he went – MJF came out, right? And MJF said what he said.
Yeah.
Don't know if a lot of things he said was PC, but he said them. And Takeshita gets on the mic, says what he says. And then he's like, says what he actually says in English. So was it a kiss his ass or something like that?
Yeah, supposedly the translation of what
which
he
probably
said, like,
wasn't,
what but he actually said, it was actually what he said in Japanese supposedly was actually a lot worse and a lot more intense. But then when he translated to English, he just said, you could kiss my ass.
Which was fantastic. And then Bryan Danielson came out and MJF in the ring, like doing the football shuffle and then pulling out of the ring and then running up the ramp as fast as he could. The way he did. But the way he did it was comedic. It was like a comedic run. So like it was like done like I'm shitting my bricks running and then turns around the stage and acts like he's all tough again. MJF is playing like this piece of shit coward heel to a T. Like he is amazing. I love him ripping on Ken Jeong on ringside, Freddie Prinze Jr. calling him a Scooby-Dooby douchebag. Fantastic. Hilarious. But the match that we get to, man, it's like, so we have Kenny Omega and Ospreay's match of the year. We want to add this match to it. God, we might be adding every Danielson match on his way to MJF to that match of the year category. Because now seriously. Next week he's facing Bandido. And that match is going to be a fucking banger. I guarantee it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So and who's going to face after next week? Somebody is Zack Sabre Jr. going to come in then and he's going to face him on his road to MJF? Like, I wouldn't put it past him to do that. I guarantee, what if they do that? What if, like, everyone's like, oh, we can't wait for Danielson to face, you know, Zack Sabre Jr.? What if MJF says, I brought him in?
That would be crazy. That's the last match.
Yeah, and he brings him in for the last match. Like, that, damn, man.
Ant is losing his mind in the chat right now.
I know. I see what he's
Danielson
typing.
Danielson versus Juventud Guerrero. Danielson versus Savio Vega.
Glacier is going to come back.
Bro, bring in Carlito. Hey, let's get fucking crazy.
Just like every B-list talent.
I think that was the match that was supposed to happen at Forbidden Door.
Yeah, and then Danielson got hurt.
I mean, yeah, we know Forbidden Door 2 is going to happen, but again, at the same time, we don't know if it's a confirmed going to be happening in the same time frame. Which, even if they did it now, if they wanted to do another rematch, I just hope he stays healthy enough because I know everyone wants to see, and I hope he wants to do it, but Danielson in a G1. Like, I really hope when they do this again this year that he's
when
healthy
enough.
When is
the G1 in the summer?
I don't exactly remember when it starts.
I feel like it is only
isn't it after Forbidden Door? When Forbidden Door was? Wasn't it like leading
someone
into All
someone in
out?
The chat's going to tell us. Summer and put summer.
Summer.
All right, everyone's writing summer.
Okay, so
I feel
stay
like everybody always
then.
Complains about the heat in the arenas that they run it in, or the but
end of the day, fantastic
venues they run it in.
Amazing. Adam puts July to August. There you go. Great match. Can't wait for next week. He's gonna face Bandido, and Bandido still pumping out bangers too. That they're gonna have a really good wrestling match. But I'm loving the storyline too of him fighting his way to MJF, and it's going to be an Iron Man, a 60-minute Iron Man match at Revolution. Oh, man. This is a fantastic way of building this. I love this.
I said it last week, right? And I'll say it again. My favorite match of all time, Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels, WrestleMania 12 Iron Man match.
This might
hell
get...
Hell, yes.
I'm not saying it's going to beat it, but this might get close. I don't
listen,
know if it's going to
you're telling me. You're going to let two wrestlers go 60 minutes, and one of those wrestlers is Bryan Danielson?
And it's right. This is technically the WrestleMania for AEW Revolution. So
Revolution
they are doing
is
it.
The WrestleMania.
They are doing it at the correct time. Tony Khan, just come out and say it again. Just clarify it again. That Revolution,
it.
We know you watch show. Just tell us a Revolution is WrestleMania, is our WrestleMania. Let's just get it over with. You know, we know one day it's going to be at where the Jags play. I don't know what the name of the stadium is.
The TAA Bank Stadium.
Yeah, that Revolution is going to be there one day, and that's going to be, we're going to get confirmation
listen,
then.
According to the news that you told me as the show was starting,
oh, yeah,
the first segment, WrestleMania might be there, WrestleMania.
Yeah. If the cons, if Vince McMahon's like, you know what, I got to do what's best for business here. If the
bro,
cons-
they, I saw a meme, and it was like, the last name on the contract is Khan, but not that Khan.
Yeah. Tony Khan.
Yeah, and it had the WCW, like Vince McMahon, shocked face, and it's not Shane, it's Tony Khan.
God, I would die.
Oh my
God. Not in a good way.
What are the chances we live through a moment like that twice?
The merger would be insane, but the same. I don't know if it's just me, but I'm on the fence of wanting that. It'd be hilarious if they like it. You got to think too, like both these men are businessmen at the end of the day as well. Tony Khan's more of a wrestling fan and more for the wrestlers than Vince McMahon is. But at the same time, they're both business people. So like, who knows what the hell's going to happen, but I kind of still think it's going to be the Saudis.
It's going to be Saudi, sadly enough.
And that's not good for the Fed, for any Fed fans that are listening. They will make the company private, and that's going to suck. So best be prepared if it does happen. I wish you nothing but the best. I wish nothing but the wrestlers there the best, because they have a lot of talented fucking people on that roster, and it sucks for them that they're going through this.
Yeah.
So, and it, just saying.
Yeah, it's very
like, I have nothing against the wrestlers there. There's a good chunk of people that work for that company that I would love in AEW. Some people I don't want over here.
Yeah, don't worry. Once Saudi buys them, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn are out of that company. So,
but
please,
like,
send them over here.
My gripe is with the company and the people that run it. That ruined it for me. That's why I don't watch anymore.
I feel the same exact way. And a segment that I wish we can never watch again. So before the main event, we get the JAS come out and they say some things. And then Ricky Starks comes out and he says some things. And then Action Andretti says,
okay, where is that going though? Like,
and then they
is
do
Ricky
some
Starks
going
to get more partners? Like, what's going on here? He's outnumbered. Like, what are they doing here? What's the end goal, do we think, of this?
It's the same thing every time with the JAS. It's no rhyme or reason except that they have to take a feud and drag it out for like months at a time just because Jericho likes to hear himself.
But like, what do we think that the end game is here? Like, Jericho's already faced Ricky Starks. Jericho's already faced, like, are we getting rematches? Are we getting a tag match? Like, what? I have no idea where the hell this feud is going. If anyone has a guess, let us know in the chat, or if Carrie's listening, because we know you're listening. Love you, Carrie. let Booker Phil know. Carrie. Send the text over to him. I have no idea where this is going. I need help here, please.
Listen, it was announced by Sting that this is his last year in wrestling. So let's do something fun with just Sting and Jericho, but no JAS. Right? Jericho versus Dark. Jericho had one of the best years of his careers last year as a singles wrestler. Do that. And then he could talk on the mic all he wants and get rid of the JAS. We love the people in the group. But as a group, who cares?
Some of them.
Oh, yeah. Hager's in the group. But besides Jake Hager, we love all the other people in the group who aren't croutons. Okay? And it's like, yo, are 2.0 ever going to get a fucking tag match? Or, like, I know they had the match against Action Bronson.
They want a taste of the title.
Give me a taste of Daddy Magic.
And they're so good. Can you imagine a 2.0 and a clean feud? Like, it would be so fucking fun. That would
be hilarious.
It'd be great, right? Daniel Garcia, this on and off again. He have no clue what direction they're going with Daniel Garcia. You could do something fun with him. Sammy is probably going to take some time off in the beginning of the year to kind of reset, you know, to see where he's going. But you're doing this whole thing with Ty and Anna versus Ruby and Willow. That's fun. Keep it over there. Keep it separate from the JAS. I mean, we'll see that tag match tonight to see where it's going. It's a street fight. I did love in this promo that Jericho kind of, like, gave Ty a moment to say something. But it all comes back to our biggest fear, which is this Jericho versus Ricky is just going to be Jericho versus Eddie, where the good guy wins in the beginning and then doesn't fucking win ever again. And then we're like, okay, what was the point of that feud then?
Carry the chat.
Carry the chat. Fuck Judas.
I mean, if the goal is to build Ricky as a legitimate star, because yes, Jericho is, you know, for all intents and purposes, the top guy. He's a legend in the company. And if you're going to build Ricky off of Jericho's back, great. But it has to go somewhere. And for the love of God, make it go somewhere fast. Right, Rory? Rory has my back.
Yeah, Rory's like, fuck the chance.
Rory's like, that's right. That's what I'm talking about. But yeah, I mean, like, if that's the end game, is to really just push Ricky to, like, superstardom status off of Jericho's name, fine. But I just don't want, like,
and it's nothing against Jericho. I just need a clear direction of where this is going. Because, like, I don't want to see the same shit every week with this group. If you want me if they want us to still be invested in the JAS and give them these long-ass fucking segments, keep us invested in it then. Because right now you're making us hate it and making us not want it to be on TV and put it on Rampage so I may or may not watch it.
Yeah, that segment did not need to be that long, especially when the main event basically had like 15 minutes with entrances to get done. I was like, this is going to be the quickest ladder match in like the history of wrestling. God bless. They had minimal time to get it done. And yet they gave this JAS segment like 10 minutes. Come on.
What are they doing? What are you doing?
What are you doing?
Yeah, we'll love that.
So now, you know, let's talk about the ladder match, right? So we knew from day one,
it's not a ladder
match. We were going to get a same game, a seven game series, right?
Say it right.
What's Escuela, whatever.
Escalera.
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 De la muerte.
Exactly. Yeah,
let me roll my heart. De la muerte. There you go.
Yeah, there you go. Perfect.
What the hell?
I can roll my tongue better than Jackie can.
Mm-mm. Cucaracha.
Yeah, cucaracha.
Escalera de la cucaracha.
There you go. So we knew it was going seven. And even with the time cuts, these six guys showed out like we knew they would. So many spots. It is fucking insane for anybody who watched Omega versus Ospreay. And then saw the next night or the next, what was it, couple days, right? He's in the tag match with Okada, which was hype as fuck.
Right? Yeah.
And then a week later, dude is flying back from Japan.
He's back.
And he's taking insane bumps. And I was talking to this kid at my job, and he's like, well, Kenny's healthy. Okay, but let's not break him again.
No.
What the fuck?
Like, yeah.
Holy shit. The guy, like, this shit that he does. And then the whole, like, the Bucks are fucking insane in themselves. Because the shit that they do, like, I feel like, obviously, they're so good at storytelling. And it's so good. Like, are you actually hurt? Or are you Matt Jackson selling a back injury for 15 years? Right? But, like, every match, they almost, like, murder themselves. Do these crazy spots. We saw the Brandon Cutler got involved. You know, Alex got involved. And it's just, man, shout out to Death Triangle, who had an unbelievable year last year. I would love to see Pac do some singles action, right, to get kind of back into that. Because this dude is unfucking believable. One of the best wrestlers in the world.
Unreal.
And just the main event delivered, even on a sped up time, right? These guys know how to put on a show. And then we get the victory that we all knew was coming, the Elite win, which was really cool. But Kyle, what'd you think of this?
Fantastic. And for the amount of time they got, it was great. I think we all knew where it was leading to, right? It was going to be the Elite winning. And Kenny, being the crazy asshole that he is, does a one-winged angel off the ladder. And I'm like, oh my God, do we need to do that? Good. I'm like, but I loved it. I marked out. And he climbs the ladder and he gets the belts. And I'm like, oh man, it was fantastic. I loved it. It'll be interesting to see what they do. I thought for sure, like, we even predicted that maybe like the House of Black would come out at the end. I'd have to assume now that starting next week, they would have to start a build maybe towards us, or give these guys at least a week off to recover.
Well, we'll see. House of Black fights tonight.
Yeah. That too, yeah. I would kind of, knowing AEW, I think like the Elite won't be on TV next week. They're going to give both teams, maybe Death Triangle will be on TV, maybe like a backstation, but I think both teams are going to get a week off because of this whole best of seven that they just did.
Pac finally gets to go home.
Yeah, and like, especially like Kenny wrestling, going between countries in like a span of a week, wrestling like unreal matches. I think they deserve maybe a week off and then come back and start this feud. So my guess, maybe not, if they could do it next week. I could be wrong, and they could do it. But in like 2 weeks, they'll start. I would hope to think that we're going to get their first feud, and it would be House of Black going into Revolution. So, because I think tonight's probably going to be the end tie of the end game of Kingston and Ortiz. And I think tonight's probably going to be the start of their feud against each other, because they've been building this. They've been like not in the same page shit for a couple of weeks now. I think now it's finally, listening to their last promo, I think it's finally going to be, this is going to be it. Like, there's something's going to happen in this match tonight, and it'll be Kingston versus Ortiz feud going forward.
So Ant's saying, do we need House of Black to lose though? What if they don't?
Yeah.
What if they don't?
The Elite right? can surely
this,
lose.
This isn't the world title or the singles titles that are the main titles. So the world men's, the world women's, those titles rarely change. But like other titles are up in the air. We don't know how these trios titles are going to be perceived, right? The tag team titles bounced around last year.
These trios titles have changed. They've been on technically two teams, but four times since September.
Yeah, so like,
because they were won in September, then they were stripped, then they were won by another team in the same month. So there's two champions right there technically, and then now the elite one. So three times.
Yeah. So who knows, right? And I understand how the elite just won, but listen, Tony Khan, I know you're watching. I know you're looking. I know you're listening.
And you're watching Kenny Twitter.
Kenny versus Buddy Matthews. And then Kenny versus Mercedes. Two matches we need.
Yeah, Kenny and Malakai would be a really good match too, though.
Oh, it'd be great.
That's what
it'd
I mean.
It'd be fantastic. Listen, Malakai, one of my favorite wrestlers ever, right? I love Malakai. But I'm hell-bent on Kenny versus Buddy, right? Let's see some crazy shit. Let's see some crazy. And then when the merger comes, Rhea could come out with Buddy, join the House of Black.
My God, this freaking merger.
So
what'd you think of the main event, Jackie?
I thought it was freaking insane, as can be expected. Just the fact that so many, I think at least three of these guys were working hurt. So from what I heard, it was Pac had his broken nose. Oh, apparently, wow. Nick Jackson has had a broken toe. What? Kenny with his busted eye.
Wow.
So it's like three injuries going into it. Kenny on a 17-hour jet lag coming back from Japan.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I know that people on Twitter and all the croutons love to give wrestlers love to give wrestlers shit when a match doesn't go exactly the way that they wanted to and everything. But when you think about the things that these guys are willing to put their bodies through and the sheer chaos of that match and the fact that they're working hurt, they're working tired, and yet they're pulling out these moves. Nick Jackson does a freaking 450 splash from the ring to outside the ring to a table. You have him taking a bump where he like landed tailbone first. I'm like, his hamstrings must be like on fire right now, right onto a ladder. It's just the things that they're putting their bodies through. I commend everybody in that match, because I cannot imagine what they must have felt like after that match. And then the whole time we're asking, do they have to get all three belts down?
Oh my God.
To win the match? Because if that's the stipulation, we're going to be here for a while, and this is going to be so
that
kind of
would have been cool, though. You're right. Like, what if they, like, you know, like the Elite got the first belt and then Death Triangle got the second belt, and then it was a battle for that third belt.
That would have been cool. It would have been a twist, but you know, once Kenny got his hands on that belt, and it was like the redemption arc, not only for them winning their belts back, you know, from a storyline perspective, but also just knowing everything from the suspension and all of that drama that happened right after All Out. You know, it's the comeback story that, you know, yeah, was it a little bit predictable in a sense? Sure. But sometimes predictable is not bad. And I think that this is what needed to happen. Shout out to Death Triangle for their title run. And, you know, they did an amazing job with their run. But this is now the Elite's time, and we're going to see where they go from here.
Listen, and that ending is one of my favorite things that happens in ladder matches, especially ladder matches that you're invested in, where it's like the guy is actually like shoot beat up and struggles to get the belt. Oh, yeah. You're like, grab the belt. I was like, oh, God. We're about to go off air. Grab the goddamn belt. It is 10:01.
They're going to cut it right when he grabs it.
Yeah. And he's like reaching and like slipping. I was like, oh my God, grab the fucking belt, Kenny. And the three of them, any of them, please.
But that freaking one wing angel off the ladder that was like hanging precariously, just dangling off the top rope. Oh, yeah. Oh my God.
Oh my God.
Yeah, Kyle, that sound is very appropriate because it made me feel things.
I sound like that big giant like cement block from Super Mario. Bowser's Castle. Yeah.
The thwomp, yeah. Sounds exactly like that.
Yo, Carrie with the comment of the night on Twitch, she says, These fans couldn't handle 10 hours in economy on a flight to Japan, never mind putting on a classic match. They can shut up and open the window in their basement.
I see that, see that little patch of grass out there? Go and touch it, please.
Wait, is this the build a bridge segment?
No. Yeah.
Even Rory's
not having
that's
it.
That's saved for certain individuals. Kimmy.
Ascended, yes. I knew the Thwomp name. I have played video games in my life. I'm not like, I know y'all like to think I live under a rock. Listen, and I just don't know POV, anything about anything.
When we get bigger, because we suck right now, but when we get bigger, joking. When we get bigger, we're going to use the money and we're going to buy Jackie a video game console. That's the first thing we're going to do is we're going to buy Jackie an Xbox.
I have an Xbox that I can send her. I'm just being lazy about it.
Okay, fine. Well, we're gonna buy her video games then with it. Any game that we're playing, because Jackie hangs out with us most of the time when we're gaming, like off, like when we're
and
not
she
on air.
Sits there like
and
this.
She just sits there. But good
I'm just
sport.
A voyeur.
Great friend.
Meanwhile, on the other screen. She's rewatching some technical masterpiece from like 1984.
She's watching a Zack Sabre Jr. live match in Japan right now.
No, she's like, hey guys, I know everybody talks about Bryan Danielson, but have you seen Ric Flair versus Ricky Steamboat in the fucking Sheboygan Coliseum in 1972?
Match number 25 out of their 1,002 matches. Yeah. Great match.
It was so good. 70-minute draw.
Yeah, 70. Oh. So much technical wrestling.
They're
on the ground for 60 minutes.
Do you know how many Flair Dusty like 60-minute draws I've seen? This is so
you nailed that.
There you go.
I feel so attacked.
Yeah, that's coming to Patreon soon. We have to have Jackie rewatching these matches and watching her reaction to those.
That's you know, like in the 40-year-old virgin where they're like doing the speed dating, it's like, oh, like, well, what are you into? Like, I'm into omoplatas, ankle holds, German suplexes.
You ever heard of a Frankensteiner?
The guy's going to be walking out like, you think I'm crazy? You know who's hot?
Jackie.
Those German suplexes.
China. Oh, greatest scene of all time.
I can't stand you guys.
If you guys haven't seen the 40-year-old version, please go watch it. It's one of the
what a great movie.
If you don't use it, will you lose it?
Yeah.
I can't say the one.
Why Jackie hates the Fed. There's not enough technical wrestling. They're like, ooh, Chad Gable? And then they're like, he's an idiot. Wait, he has a wrestling gimmick? Yeah, but it's corny.
He's a manager.
Jackie watches Mustafa Ali's like Instagram stories, and she's like sweating. Like, do you see what he can do? Did you see the flip transition?
Oh, funny.
Oh, my God.
Oh, look, Carrie. Oh, look at us having more viewers than Bully Ray, who's main eventing right now.
Oof.
Damn, Carrie.
That a girl.
I love the shot. I think Kimmy's about to do a run-in. That's why she's not here.
Yeah, that's why she's not here. She's actually in Impact.
Yeah, she's on Impact. They signed her to replace Chelsea Green.
Oh, man.
Who poor Chelsea Green? I'm going back to the Fed. Psych!
Oh, you're being sold? Okay. Hey, W, what's going on? Tony Khan!
And speaking of the Fed, yo, shout out to Mandy Rose for winning Most Improved in Pro Wrestling Illustrated. They're really fucked up there. That's who you fired, the Most Improved Wrestler?
While she's counting her $1 million fan house money.
Yeah, like, what the fuck? Or fan time, whatever.
Fan time, whatever she is.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Just racking in the money, bro. They're... Listen, it hurt in the company's defense though when Saudi buys, she would have got fired anyway.
Yeah.
You're like, what?
So I got out just in time.
You're out of here. Okay.
They show them a video of her fan time. They're like, oh! They lose their shit.
Y'all are
no
wild.
Way, bro. No way.
Anyways, no way. We'll move on before we get canceled.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's it.
Yeah, it's the last.
Any final thoughts on Dynamite last night?
Yeah.
Or well, not last night, but the night before.
Oh, the other night.
It was great. Besides, Like our title of our episode, no money, no problem.
No it was
still
problem.
A great episode. Nope.
Money.
I hate. I didn't. Guys, I can't. I don't like her song. If anyone's on my train, join it because I hate her theme song. It drives me up the wall. The stupid corny. Freaking sounds like Money. Coach's theme song.
Money.
God. I remember Jonathan Coachman's theme song. That's her theme song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so bad.
Yeah.
We're just gonna torture Kyle with that.
It's so bad, but it's so good. Right now, Mikey Ruckus is in the lab creating some fire.
No, he heard that song and went, "What the fuck?"
Yeah, he was like, "Nah, bro."
Bro, I got 10 other songs cracking his knuckles. Did you make that with Microsoft Audio something? Like, what is that?
Get out of here.
He was like, "Your cousin is Snoop Dogg."
Yeah, please make some fucking fire. Get out of here.
Can you imagine me, Snoop Dogg, listening to that and going, "Yo,
what the fuck? What the fuck is that?" But listen, it's a fantastic Rampage tonight. Like I said, we have Ty and Anna versus Ruby and Willow in a street fight. Hopefully, they gave that match a good amount of time.
Yeah, I heard there was
what
blood,
other matches do we have? There was blood.
Yeah,
people are saying
there was blood.
Yeah. I saw some pictures without getting spoiled.
I saw a clip.
Spoiled,
yeah, I saw a clip of someone bloodied and thumbtacks. So we're in for a street fight.
Yep.
Yeah.
What other matches are tonight? I forgot. I don't have anything.
I remember one off the top of my head. It was actually that was it.
So it's the street fight, and then House of Black
versus House of Black tag match.
God, how do we forget that?
We were just talking about it.
Speaking of, she doesn't...
Juice and Darby. Thank you, Adam. Oh,
Juice and Darby. Yep.
And for anybody in the tri-state area, big event New York in March, Tony Storm and Juice Robinson just announced.
Oh, really?
So, yes. Yes.
Beautiful.
Also, Ty and Sammy will be there.
Okay.
But, so, Phil will be there.
So, I will be there.
But yeah, should be good. Good show tonight. Excited.
Sucks that it's at 10, but hey, we'll get through it. Right. We're just some complaining Americans, and Kyle's a Canadian.
Yeah, I'm Canadian. I'm going to be going to play hockey at 10 o'clock, so I won't be watching.
Are you really?
Yeah.
What the fuck, dude?
I'm living up to my gimmick, bro.
Jackie, do you have Cosmic Bowling by you?
Oh, we're also going to hear from the Acclaimed, who hilariously I saw.
Have you ever heard of that?
Hold up.
Yeah, I think so.
It's like bowling. It's like, you know, when you're in like high school and you can't get in anywhere, they have like... After from like 10 to midnight, they like turn the lights down.
Oh, and yeah, the glow in the dark one.
Yeah, oh, by us is called Cosmic Bowling, Cosmic Hockey. Like, what the fuck, dude? 10 o'clock at night?
Believe it or not, I used to work at a Cosmic Bowling alley that was also a bar restaurant at the same time. So I used to be a bouncer there because after 10 o'clock, they would kick all the kids out and it would become a glow in the dark bowling alley, pool tables, arcade games, and restaurant for adults.
And ladies and gentlemen, you just got the backstory on why Kyle loves all security guards.
Yep, that was it right there. But we're going to hear from the Acclaimed tonight, and I saw the clip of them. Dude, good thing it's taped because Max Caster botched the entrance, and you had to go back and they had to restart it.
Really?
Yeah. So after...
What, he messed up the line?
He messed up, and they had to restart it. You have to go watch this clip.
He was like, oh, no, we got to do that again. And then they literally went to the back, and then freaking Billy Gunn said the funniest shit ever. He was like, this is why I literally only ever said two words.
Yeah.
And then for some reason, we're going to hear from Paul Walter Hauser tonight.
Oh, the dude from
a lot of things. He was on Dynamite. I don't know. What the hell is he going to say tonight?
Whatever. Yeah, whatever. He was in Cobra Kai, which is called Cobra. Does he know how to do a German suplex?
No.
A snap German suplex or a one wing angel off the top
rope? So Jackie doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah, Jackie don't care.
Basically.
You can't give me a rest hold. You ain't worth my time.
You can't put me in a sharpshooter? Fuck off.
Yeah, exactly. And speaking of sharpshooter, if you want to see a great clip at FTR asking Jackie why her knee's messed up if she's selling the sharpshooter, youtube.com/ElitePOV. As a reminder, our 2022 year end review video was up there. I think it's like 11 minutes long. It's not too bad. Some great pictures at the end of the video, some great clips. And for people who have been following us this whole time and have watched all the vlogs and stuff that we did, there's some content in there. Like, for example, Jackie's vlog that she made to when she went to Death for Dishonor, some clips from that have never been aired. So there's a lot of great stuff in there that you guys definitely want to make sure you see. but also twitch.tv/elitepov, where you're live right now. Make sure you're there every Friday, 7 p.m. Eastern. You could be live with us like so many great people are right now. We thank you. Yeah,
we're live on YouTube as well.
Love y'all.
Live on YouTube as well, youtube.com/elitepov.
Whatever your preference is.
Yeah, we're on both. We're looking at both chats. So when you guys talk to us, we'll be able to interact with you. Patreon.com/elitepov. Like I said earlier, we have a lot of great stuff coming, a lot of bonus content coming, a lot of great ideas. You see all the stuff on the side of the screen as you're watching right now. And then shopelitepov.com. Get that new logo on a t-shirt. It is great. It is awesome. Still some great stuff up there besides the logo. So make sure you guys check that out. And yeah, Jackie, let them know where they can follow you.
Yep. You can find me on Twitter at loveyoumake24. And you can find me on Instagram at jackstheDrawPOV.
And Kyle, let these people know just kind of the cool stuff that you and Ant had going on the other day and how we're expanding the Elite POV brand on Twitch.
Yeah, yesterday. So we finally started Elite POV Games yesterday. So the gaming content has started. Me and Ant have started a collab where we're playing a Madden 22 franchise mode together. We've simmed 10 years into the future. We've moved two teams. So Ant moved the team to Brooklyn. I moved the team to Toronto. And we're just trying to build our teams and play against each other. We've actually, Phil let us know about a way where we can simultaneously, what's it called? Stream at the same time.
Did you guys check if we could?
I didn't check yet. But we might be able
to. Yeah, there's a way on Twitch, yeah.
Yeah. Either way, that's what we're going to be doing. And it'll be more gaming stuff, too. I'm going to be doing some gaming stuff of my own on there once I figure out schedule-wise and stuff like that. But like Phil said...
And listen, whenever Fight for Forever comes out,
yeah,
we'd love to play with you guys.
Yeah,
it may be 10 years from now.
But, yeah. But like Phil said, Patreon content is going to be coming out weekly for you guys. So you guys are going to want to subscribe if you are. Go to patreon.com/elitepov. The tiers are there to let you know what you get. Jackie and me did an episode this past Monday. We did Let's Talk. It was posted there early. So there's going to be content on there that's going to be posted there and then YouTube. And there'll be other content that's just on Patreon exclusively for you guys. So Let's Talk is one of those where it goes over to YouTube tomorrow at 10 a.m. I believe it premieres on the YouTube page. If you guys are not a Patreon member, and that's fine. You still support us by subscribing to the YouTube channel. You guys can watch Let's Talk.
Please subscribe to YouTube.
Yeah, that helps a lot.
It's free.
It's free. Yep. Yeah, if you can't. Support us on Patreon. Subscribing to us on YouTube is another great way to support the show. And then Let's Talk will be available tomorrow morning. It was a great episode. Me and Jackie went and had a lot of cool questions.
It was a lot of fun.
We introduced a segment that we're going to have actually every time on the show, which is grab 10 random, what are they called again, Jackie? They're,
would you rather
questions. And the ones we did on this one were hilarious. And it made us think a little bit. But yeah, again, like I said, I guess to wrap it all up, a lot of content coming your way to Elite POV. Like we said, it's a brand refresh. There's going to be different stuff during the brand. Like this is a podcast section. There's the gaming section. There's the Patreon stuff and a lot more.
And there's the feet pick section coming.
coming soon.
Feet picks. Elite POV
feet.
All Phil. Elite POV
feet. That's me. Sorry, guys. It's just me. Don't think it's Jackie here. It's me. It's just my feet.
So if you need to know, so if you have any lighting requests, just let Phil know.
If you have any type of jars of stuff you want me to dip it in, jelly,
any special food,
peanut butter, you know what I mean?
Jesus Christ!
You know what I mean, it's gonna be a crazy year for me. You know what I mean, so let's build this money up.
We're gonna try to beat out Mandy Rose's fan time. Maybe be at least number two.
Listen, Emily, it's better without the pedicure. It's real.
It's authentic.
It's authentic.
It's
right.
It's au naturel.
Some would say Phil's feet is the answer to the question everyone wants to know, and that is what makes Daddy Magic's nipples hard.
Phil's feet.
Phil's feet. We find this out.
Patreon.com/leap.
Mystery solved.
Mystery solved. Well, thank everybody for listening to another great episode of Elite POV. And remember, you don't need a hat to be a cowboy. Bye.
There's a voice that keeps on calling me. Down the road, that's where I'll always be. Every stop I make a new friend. Can't stay for long, just turn
best. Really good. Everyone on the floor as well. Really a lot of hustle. I liked it.